Welcome to The Deep Dive, your compass for navigating the most compelling shifts in global business. Today, we're setting our sights on a region that's, well, it's rapidly transforming from overlooked to a potential tech powerhouse, Central Asia. And Uzbekistan is really leading the charge there. For entrepreneurs, investors, business leaders, this isn't just another emerging market. It feels like a significant turning point. Our mission today is to really unearth the hidden gems, give you a concise, actionable overview of the venture capital and startup scene there.
And we're diving deep using some really robust data. Our insights come mainly from the Venture Capital in Central Asia report. It's the second edition, just out March 2025, from Rise Research with partners like KPMG and Dealroom. Big names. We're also pulling key details from KPMG's specific FinTech in Uzbekistan 2024 report. So these aren't just quick snapshots. They're pretty data-heavy deep dives into a market that's, frankly, demanding global attention.
Absolutely. And what we're about to explore is, well, it's quite remarkable. From explosive surge in VC funding to the groundbreaking rise of Uzbekistan's very first tech unicorn. That story alone tells you a lot about what can work there, plus a flourishing fintech sector with its own unique market dynamics and how government initiatives are, you know, really laying the groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
By the end of our conversation, you'll have a clearer picture of not just what's happening, but why it matters, and crucially, how you might engage with this burgeoning market. Let's get into it. So let's kick off with the sheer scale of Uzbekistan's rapid rise in the VC world. To put it in context, the entire Central Asian region saw total VC funding climb to about $95 million in 2024.
Right, that's up about 7% from $89 million in 2023. Decent regional growth.
Decent, yeah. But here's the kicker. Uzbekistan has been a massive engine behind that growth.
Oh, definitely. What's really telling isn't just the overall funding number for the region, but how dramatic Uzbekistan's own growth has been. We're looking at a 2.7 times increase in venture capital funding there. Think about it. $3 million in 2022, and by 2024, that figure just skyrocketed to $52 million.
Wow.
And it's important to stress that $52 million number actually excludes one absolutely monumental deal, which we'll get to. And it's not just the money. The number of deals also grew steadily from 34 in 2022 up to 43 in 2024. So broader activity, too.
That increasing activity is key. But maybe for listeners less familiar, when we talk about larger deal sizes, what does that really signal? The average VC deal size for Uzbekistan, again, excluding that big outlier, more than doubled.
Yeah.
It went from $140,000 in 2022 to $460,000 in 2024.
It's a really clear sign of growing investor confidence. Simple as that. It means capital isn't just flowing in greater volume, but investors are writing bigger checks. They more conviction, you know. And this brings us right to that groundbreaking news. Uzum, Uzbekistan's first tech unicorn.
The billion-dollar company.
Exactly. This isn't just a big number. It's a seismic event for the region's ecosystem. Uzum, which combines e-commerce and fintech, raised an impressive $114 million in its Series A round in 2024. That's what pushed its valuation to $1.1 billion. And the funding isn't just sitting there. It's strategically aimed at boosting IT and logistics infrastructure, plus funding their buy now, pay later service.
The BNPL piece seems really important there.
It is. And they're ambitious. They're already talking about raising another $300 million and aiming for an IPO by 2026.
Now, one detail in the report that really caught my eye, while Uzum's deal is huge, these reports we're citing specifically exclude it from the general VC funding stats. Why is that?
Yeah, that's a crucial methodological point. Basically, it's sheer scale. That $114 million Series A is just so massive compared to everything else. It's almost more like private equity funding for a fairly mature company rather than typical early stage venture capital.
Okay, so separating it gives a clearer picture of the rest of the startup landscape.
Exactly. It avoids skewing the averages for the, you know, pre-seed, seed, typical Series A deals. It lets us see the underlying health and growth of the broader ecosystem. Like Murat Abdrakhmanov, a well-known super angel investor, put it, "We are at a turning point. Now is the best time to enter Central Asia market." And you really feel that sentiment looking at these numbers, even without Uzum inflating the totals.
Right. So we've seen this impressive capital flowing in. But what's actually attracting it? What's driving this digital revolution on the ground? A huge part of the story seems to be the explosion in fintech and digital payments.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not happening in a vacuum, right? Uzbekistan has some incredibly strong fundamentals backing this
up. That's what specifically?
Well, you've got a large population, 36.8 million people, a lot of potential users, and critically, 23.5 million of them are internet users. Penetration is decent. Plus, they boast the cheapest internet in Central Asia. Access is key.
Okay, so the infrastructure and user base are there, and the market potential.
It's immense. The retail market alone is valued at $15 billion. And the e-commerce market, while smaller, currently somewhere between $543 million and $605 million, is growing incredibly fast. We're talking 75% to 95% year-over-year growth.
Wow, that's staggering growth. A massive opportunity for digital payments then.
Exactly. And critically, you have the government pushing hard for digitalization. That helps a lot. Initiatives like Digital Uzbekistan 2030 are setting clear targets, like getting all mandatory state payments online eventually. That kind of top-down push really fuels the whole digital payments ecosystem and drives adoption.
So, who are the main players actually making this cashless shift happen? The reports mention a few key names.
Yeah, the leaders right now seem to be Uzum Bank, connected to the unicorn, obviously Click and Paym. They're handling substantial transaction volumes, have large user bases. Uzum Bank had particularly high volume in 2022, partly because they were offering very low commissions that year strategically.
And from a user standpoint, why are people flocking to these fintech apps instead of, say, traditional bank apps?
It usually boils down to user experience. These fintech apps generally offer much better convenience. Plus, a wider range of services, they tend to be more stable, and payments are instant. Compared to, let's be honest, many traditional bank apps which can feel clunky or limited, there's often a clear preference.
Makes sense. And the growth potential, specifically in digital payments and this BNPL, buy now, pay later space, looks huge.
Undeniable. Just look at the compound annual growth rates, the CAGR. Consumer loans saw a 66% CAGR between 2020 and 2023. That's consistent, rapid acceleration. And POS terminal payments, paying at the shop counter, saw a 50% CAGR between 2021 and 2023.
Those numbers really do scream opportunity.
They do. And the projections, equally impressive. Cashless payments overall are projected to grow at a 10% CAGR from 2023 to 2027. And P2P person-to-person transfers at a really strong 22% CAGR over the same period.
So a major shift away from cash is clearly underway.
Absolutely. The targets suggest cashless payments could reach somewhere between 29% and 33% of GDP, and P2P transactions could hit between 62% and 74% of GDP by the end of 2027. This isn't just incremental growth, it's a fundamental reshaping of how money moves in the economy.
Okay, let's pivot now to the investment spotlight. If you're an investor looking at this market, understanding the funding stage dynamics is crucial. So in 2024, again, excluding that big Uzum deal to see the typical startup funding, what do the stages look like?
Right, looking at the number of deals, pre-seed rounds really dominated. They accounted for 41% of all deals. Seed rounds followed with 35%, and then Series A made up the remaining 24%.
Interesting. So lots of early stage activity.
Yeah, what's interesting though is that while pre-seed deals and growth stage deals actually increased significantly in volume from 2023 to 2024, seed rounds saw a decline.
Any thoughts on why that might be?
It could suggest a few things. Maybe the ecosystem is getting better at generating initial ideas, pre-seed, and some are successfully scaling growth Series A. But perhaps there's a bit of a bottleneck or a shift in focus at that crucial seed stage. Something to watch.
And does this lead into that challenge we often hear about in emerging markets, the lack of later stage funding?
It's definitely connected. That remains an ongoing challenge for the ecosystem. It's still quite difficult for startups to raise those larger Series B, C rounds purely from domestic sources, which, yes, often pushes the most promising ones to look for international capital to really scale up.
Is there a risk they just leave the country then?
That's always a concern, yeah. Brain drain, or maybe scale drain. It's something the ecosystem is very aware of and trying to address. Shifting focus slightly to where the money is going, the key sectors. In 2024, looking purely at the number of deals, the top sectors were AI, fintech, and edtech.
Okay, AI, fintech, edtech by deal count. What about by actual dollar amount?
That's where the picture changes a bit. By investment amount, health tech and fintech captured the biggest slices of the pie. And that was largely driven by a few significant deals, especially Arzonapteka's $6.6 million round in health tech.
Right, so bigger checks going into health tech and fintech specifically. There was also a fascinating note in the reports about AI startups. Something about wrappers.
Ah, yes. This is really interesting. Emerging Uzbek AI startups are apparently finding success by building, quote, vertical-specific wrappers on top of frontier LLMs. So LLMs are those big foundational AI models, like GPT. These startups aren't trying to build the next GPT from scratch, which is hugely expensive.
Right.
Instead, they're cleverly applying these powerful existing AI tools to very specific niche industry problems. Mm. It's a much more capital-efficient approach, allowing them to potentially scale quite rapidly in targeted areas. Very smart.
That is smart. Now, what about the investors themselves? Is it mostly international money, or is local capital playing a bigger role now?
It's evolving rapidly. In 2024, local investors actually accounted for 52% of the total investment amount, again, excluding Uzum. That's a notable jump from 41% in 2023. And it means, for the first time, local investment slightly edged out international investment by amount.
That's a really powerful signal, isn't it? Shows growing local confidence in capacity.
Absolutely. But it doesn't mean international interest is drying up, far from it. Foreign investments in 2024 came from a really diverse range of places. The US, UAE, UK, Saudi Arabia, Singapore. Quite a global mix. It shows the market's potential is definitely registering on the international stage.
And new local funds are popping up too.
Yeah, the momentum's strong there. Five more domestic VC funds were apparently opened just between January and March 2025. That brings the total charter capital of VC funds based in Uzbekistan to over $120 million by March 2025. Building that local capital base is absolutely critical for long-term sustainable growth.
Okay, so we have this organic growth, increasing investment.
Yeah.
But none of this happens in a vacuum, right?
Yeah.
Policy and government initiatives must be playing a big role.
A truly monumental role, yes. A key development was Presidential Decree No. 357 back in February 2024. It specifically focused on the further development of the startup project ecosystem and venture financing. And that came alongside the adoption of a digital startups program. Clear signals from the top.
And there's one organization that seems central to this, IT Park, Uzbekistan.
Definitely pivotal. IT Park provides a whole suite of support. Tax exemptions, other financial breaks, even help with recruitment, which is huge for startups.
Yeah.
And they're actively expanding their global footprint to build bridges. They opened new international offices in South Korea and Saudi Arabia in 2024, adding to existing ones in places like the US and Germany.
Building international connections.
Exactly. And forging strategic partnerships. They signed a significant agreement with Alchemist Accelerator, for instance, which is a pretty well-respected name globally.
The CEO of IT Park summed it up well, didn't he? Mentioning strengthening the ecosystem, supporting university teams, helping projects scale globally.
Yeah, that kind of comprehensive government-backed support is a massive draw. It reduces risk and friction for founders and investors.
Beyond direct support, there are also regulatory changes shaping the market, especially in fintech.
Yes, some significant ones are underway, and they're expected to drive market consolidation, basically. Fewer, stronger players. For example, the capital requirements for payment organizations are going up substantially. They need 10 billion UZS, that's roughly $800,000 USD by July 2024, and then double that, 20 billion UZS by July 2025.
That's a big jump.
It is. And for payment systems, it's even higher. 50 billion UZS, about $4 million USD, required by July 2024. These increases are designed to ensure financial stability and, you know, weed out players who aren't sufficiently capitalized.
There's also a change in company structure required. Something about joint stock companies.
That's right. Also ticking in from July 2024, payment systems and organizations must operate as joint stock companies, or JSCs. The key implication there is transparency. JSCs have public disclosure requirements for financial reports, ownership structures. It's a major step towards greater market credibility, which helps attract more sophisticated, maybe institutional investors.
And the regulator's changing too.
Yep, oversight is shifting. The National Agency of Prospective Projects, NAPP, is now the designated key regulator for fintech. It takes over from various ministries that might have had overlapping roles before. More streamlined oversight, hopefully. Plus, there are new controls coming in on frequent P2P transfers and anything linked to gambling services. A general tightening up.
Okay. And one more regulatory point that seems really relevant for VC banks getting involved.
Yes. This could be quite impactful. A new regulation now explicitly allows second-tier banks, commercial banks, to establish their own venture funds. That could unlock significant new pools of local capital for venture investments. Definitely one to watch.
Let's dive a bit deeper into the specifics for BNPL and POS financing. There's a move towards an MFO model.
Right. Providers in the buy now, pay later and point of sale financing space are transitioning to operate under a microfinance organization, or MFO, license. This actually brings some key advantages for them. For one, they can avoid a 12% VAT, And crucially, it allows them to offer installment payments not just for goods, but also for services, think paying off dental work or a gym membership over time.
So it broadens the market significantly beyond just retail products.
Exactly. Big potential expansion there. However, the MFO model isn't a free-for-all. It brings necessary regulatory oversight. There are now limits on the markups, and commissions they can charge can't exceed 50% of the loan amount per year. And there's a cap on the maximum microfinance sum. 100 million UZS, which is about $8,000 USD, starting from 2024.
So balancing the opportunity with consumer protection and market stability makes sense.
Precisely. It's about fostering responsible growth in that high potential sector.
So given all these moving parts, the funding, the tech, the policy, what's the forward look? What's next for Uzbekistan on this global venture map? Let's talk about UZVC. That's the state-backed fund of funds, right?
Correct. It operates under the Ministry of Economy and Finance. And they have pretty ambitious plans. They're aiming to deploy around $12 million in 2025 alone. And the longer-term goal is $100 million deployed through 2030. The key here is their model. They effectively double investments by matching commitments from the private VC firms in their portfolio.
That sounds like a good way to leverage state capital.
Yeah.
But is there a risk of, say, crowding out private investors or inflating valuations?
Yeah.
Especially if lots of local funds are starting around the same time.
That's a valid concern, the potential for crowding out or valuation inflation, particularly with this tight clustering of local fund vintage years. UZCC seems aware of this. Their strategy aims to mitigate it by being quite specific about who they back. They're supporting funds focused on the very early stages idea and pre-seed, but also Series A and growth stage funds that genuinely have global scaling potential.
So trying to fill gaps rather than just pouring money everywhere.
Exactly. And they really emphasize the importance of private sector VC firms driving sustainable market development. They don't want to stifle that organic growth. They're also focused on a critical piece of the puzzle, exits.
Ah, yes. Getting money back out. Crucial for investors.
Absolutely crucial for recycling capital and proving the market. UZC is actively building relationships with secondary funds and investment banks. The goal is to create more pathways for liquidity, more exit opportunities for the whole ecosystem. And another interesting angle is inspiration. They're actively promoting successful Uzbekistan-born entrepreneurs as role models, showing local talent what's achievable.
That seeing is believing factor. What about other players, like venture studios?
Yeah, the report mentions keeping a close eye on high-signal venture studios like Sarmo Labs and Startup Garage. These are entities that systematically build startups. There's potential for them to evolve into full-stack VC firms themselves. UZVC is apparently tracking their deal flow and the quality of founders they attract, maybe with an eye to supporting their institutional growth down the line.
Okay, shifting back quickly to that really dynamic BNPL and digital payments sector, the future looks bright there.
Exceptionally bright. The projections for gross merchandise value, or GMV, in BNPL and POS financing are huge. They anticipate something like 3.6x to 4.1x growth by the end of 2027. That implies a CGR of somewhere between 38% and 42%, just massive growth potential still.
And still plenty of room to grow within the overall market.
Definitely. BNPL and POS financing are projected to capture maybe 21, 22% of the e-commerce market and perhaps 7, 9% of the offline retail market by 2027. Still significant runway for penetration. And as we touched on, profitability is a major draw. Markups on POS financing in Uzbekistan can be reportedly up to 5 times higher than in more developed markets.
Wow. So very attractive economics for players in that space.
Very attractive, yes. Though likely to compress over time as competition increases and regulation matures, but still strong for now.
So putting it all together, the forward look suggests Uzbekistan is really cementing its place, not just emerging, but becoming a significant player.
I think that's fair to say. It's increasingly significant on the global venture map. It's successfully attracting both local and international investors now. And its startups are genuinely starting to compete on a more equal footing with those from more established ecosystems. It's a really exciting trajectory.
It certainly sounds like it. We've covered a huge amount today. Let's try to distill the key takeaways from this deep dive. First, Uzbekistan's seeing explosive VC growth, really driven by a maturing ecosystem and, crucially, strong strategic government support.
Second, the fintech sector is undergoing a genuine transformation. It's not just incremental change. And related to that, the buy now, pay later and digital payments market shows immense and currently quite profitable potential for future expansion.
Okay, so actionable recommendations based on the reports. For investors, VCs, angels.
The suggestion seems to be explore those early stage opportunities, especially pre-seed and seed, knowing there's growing late-stage potential down the line. Focus areas look like AI, fintech, and health tech based on recent trends. And definitely get your head around the unique dynamics of BNPL under that MFO model, high potential but specific rules.
And for entrepreneurs, for founders in Uzbekistan or thinking of starting there?
Build with an international mindset from day one. Don't just think locally. Definitely leverage the government support programs available, particularly through IT Park. Those incentives are valuable. And maybe most importantly, focus relentlessly on building strong, adaptable management teams. That's often the make or break factor.
Right. And finally, for policymakers, business leaders already operating there.
Continue fostering that supportive, predictable regulatory environment. Stability is key. Actively work on addressing that late stage funding gap, maybe through policy tweaks or encouraging more international VCs focused on growth stages. And keep pushing for deeper international integration to unlock the full long-term potential.
Excellent. And of course, for an even deeper dive into all the numbers, the methodologies, the really granular stuff, we absolutely encourage you, our listener, to check out the full reports themselves, the Venture Capital in Central Asia and the FinTech in Uzbekistan reports.
Definitely worth the read if you're serious about the region. And maybe, as we wrap up, a final thought to leave you with. As Uzbekistan continues this rapid ascent, how might its unique blend, this mix of strategic government backing and a really vibrant, globally aware entrepreneurial spirit, how might that actually redefine what's possible for other emerging VC markets around the world? Could it set a new kind of benchmark?
A provocative question indeed. Something for all of us to consider.